Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. You may have seen some cheeky ads around town from the ASB recently. These proclaimed that ASB had been a Kiwi bank since 1847. They have led to a number of complaints to the Advertising Standards Authority, and to discuss an interesting decision that it's just come back with, we're joined by marketing expert from Auckland University, Dr. Mike Lee. So first up, what did the ASA decide? Was it okay for ASB to say they'd been a Kiwi bank since 1847?
The majority thought that it was okay. However, it was not a unanimous sort of decision by any means. It is a contentious issue. The two main issues, obviously, one is that this whole idea of intellectual property, whether they're trying to infringe on Kiwi Bank, pretending they are a Kiwi Bank. I could see why that was not upheld, because in terms of the Advertising Standards Authority, anything that's obviously seen as a joke or some sort of exaggeration to the common person will not be upheld. And that was clearly, you know, sort of a slant at their competitors, and most people, I would imagine, would understand that as a joke. The second, more contentious issue is the fact that they're claiming to be a Kiwi bank, as in a New Zealand bank, and possibly giving the impression that New Zealand owned, and using that as a sort of selling proposition against Kiwi Bank, which is 100% New Zealand owned. That's probably the point of contention that I imagine some of the panel decided they were against.
It was very interesting what ASB came back with through their agency for why they did that. They were trying to say that there are many ways you can define Kiwi Bank. Ownership is one, and the others, such as having the ASB Trust and having operated for a long time here and having all of their business here effectively, were as important, which I thought was interesting and cheeky.
It was certainly interesting and cheeky, and it does. I mean, tactically, it was a very clever thing to do, because if they can convince the authority that they hire a majority of New Zealanders, and they're they've been working in New Zealand since 1847, as the ad suggests, and you know they serve a lot of New Zealanders, so on and so forth, they could possibly claim, because the word Kiwi is such a general term, and I noticed that on their sort of rebuttal, they sort of tried to put the ball in the other court and said, well, Kiwi Bank should not be allowed to use this word Kiwi, because who can own this term Kiwi? And if they have rights to that word, then it's actually stepping into much more dangerous sort of territory. So that was, I guess, a clever move by them.
This is something we see a lot in advertising, isn't it? I mean, the people trying to associate their product with the spirit that being quintessentially New Zealand. I mean, remember Toyota did it for a long, long time, and probably still do. You know, the whole everyday people have got images of New Zealanders in every situation, at the beach, all these really sort of iconic ideas. Is that pretty much advertising 101?
Yeah, that is a really broad sort of general issue, in that, people like local products or some sort of link to their country of origin and the provenance of the brand. So if you're manufactured overseas or designed overseas, if you can just somehow convince the local population, the local target market, that you've got some connection to the country that they're in, then that's sort of like a plus for you.
Because it sort of works, doesn't it? Like Toyota, you go, oh, that's a good Kiwi. That massive multinational or massive Japanese brand is really Kiwi.
By that same token, I find it quite annoying every now and again that people think they can put a pavlova and a buzzy bee and a half a cut kiwi fruit somewhere and I'm going to care about them.
Yeah, it is. It is the oldest trick in the book. And I mean, Toyota is not the only people. Obviously, we see ASB doing it, Toyota, McDonald's recently over the last couple of years had
NZI
that campaign.
And
NZI. Yeah, there's plenty of big brands out there that are trying to sort of reestablish connection with the New Zealand market.
It's quite interesting the level of patriotism that this shows is out there, because there were a number of complaints to the Advertising Standards Authority about the ASB instance, which means a lot of people do feel very strongly about Kiwi ownership and honesty in that kind of advertising.
Yeah, and I imagine the people that would have complained would be sort of the more proactive, patriotic, politically minded type, not to be sort of, slighted by the big multinational claiming to sort of, trying to get one over them.
Or Kiwi Bank employees and senior managers.
Perhaps that as well. Yeah, that is a good point. But yeah, certainly that is something that will sort of, you know, I guess rub some people the wrong way, especially if it's something as cheeky as what the ASB did do.
What do you think of the decision? Because ASB, in their defence, said that they were meaning to be cheeky. But it certainly seems to be crossing a couple of lines, doesn't it? Using the other person's name, putting it in capitals, and kind of claiming to be something when you're owned entirely by Australians.
Yeah, I think the second part of what you said is the point of contention that is more, I guess, serious. I mean, there's no doubt that they're trying to sort of, you know, take a rib at Kiwi Bank by using their name and using it in a different context to suggest that they are just as New Zealand as Kiwi Bank. I don't think many people would confuse them with Kiwi Bank, so that's not really an issue. What the real issue is that by claiming that they've been a Kiwi Bank since 1847, I'd say probably, you know, half the people out there would think, oh, are they New Zealand owned? I wasn't sure, but now I am. And so, and they argue that a lot of people know that they're owned by Australians. But I would argue that, I don't know, it'd be interesting to do a poll, you know, as to how many people think that ASB is New Zealand owned or Australian owned.
From a branding point of view, do you think it's interesting, ASB, who are such a big incumbent in the market, are actually responding directly to the brand proposition that Kiwi Bank has, that they're locals? Is that interesting?
Yeah, I did find that interesting that they should sort of take that approach. I know Kiwi Bank's been doing very well in terms of capturing market share, but it's only, I think, it's a very small percentage. They're by no means sort of about to take all of ASB's market over. So it is interesting, I find, that they sort of took the preemptive strike. And in terms of using comparative advertising, as this is, it's certain cultures are less comfortable with it. And New Zealanders certainly are less comfortable with brands comparing themselves with other brands overtly.
In terms of the actual Advertising Standards Authority, they publish all of their findings up on their website, don't they? What kind of punishment can they put in if they do find against?
Usually the most standard sort of punishment is that the ad has to be withdrawn. And then following that, perhaps fines if they continue to infringe. Usually they're fairly liberal. Because there's so many ways of interpreting ads. Now, Hell's Pizza, obviously, is always in trouble, and Tui's is sometimes in trouble as well. And more often than not, it's just easier for both the company and the people complaining that the ad is withdrawn.
Well, what do you think? I mean, this Kiwi Bank issue is obviously one thing that people complain about, and you mentioned Tui's, Hell's Pizza. I mean, what are the things that people normally find offensive in ads, and is it a fine line that it's worth sort of pushing?
Well, sometimes it is a fine line worth pushing because, as you say, if sort of the most common penalty is that the ad must be withdrawn and you get a sort of slap on the wrist, sort of a verbal warning type thing, then there's not much to lose, is there? Usually the most complained about things are something that's overtly sexual when the product is not a sexual product. And Burger King got in trouble a couple of years ago for their BK Girls ad. And the other thing is anything that's sort of, I guess, morally offensive. Hell Pizza got nailed on the Sir Edmund Hillary ad campaign that they sort of virally marketed.
Because, I mean, it raises a question, I think, what products are overtly sexual apart from, well, I suppose, things to do with the bedroom, you know, condoms and things like that, because we've been using, you know, what's overtly sexual about ice creams then?
Yeah, and I guess it's a matter of subjective judgment of what society deems acceptable at this current point in time. So if they're a little bit more risque than what we're used to, then people will complain. And if they're kind of along the same lines as what we've always seen and what the majority of the population is used to, then people may still complain, but it's less likely to be upheld.
Does it come and go in and out of fashion, using sex to sell advertising?
I think it's always been around and it's always going to stay around. I don't know if it's seasonal.
That's Dr. Mike Lee of Auckland University. Coming up after the break, Marianne Desard.